I tell you this morning, I was tempted. I was tempted to just read a few selected quotes from some historical figures in the church. I mean, church, couldn't I get away with that if I read, say, a John Chrysostom's Easter sermon from 400 AD, the turn of the 4th century to the 5th century. Here are some highlights from that sermon. Let us all enter into the joy of the Lord. First and last alike receive your reward. Rich and poor, rejoice together. Sober and slothful, celebrate this day. Let no one grieve at his poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one mourn that he has fallen again and again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destined, he has destroyed it by enduring it. Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen, and the tomb is emptied of his dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Couldn't I just leave it there? Just leave it with his sermon. But you didn't come here this morning to hear me read someone else's sermon. This morning we find ourselves at an intersection of sorts. Today we find ourselves at the road called Easter or Resurrection Sunday and a road called I Want to Know What Love Is. On this final Sunday of the sermon series focused on love, we find culmination and conclusion on Easter Sunday. And the final theme is one of ultimate finality. On this Easter morning, I am pleased and privileged to share with you that love is victorious. The Apostle Paul said, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Drop it down to verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love never fails, and it's the greatest. Love is victorious. Love always wins. A minute ago, I was nervous to proclaim a message that is as old as the universe, but now I am confident and full of God's Spirit and eager to proclaim to you this morning that love is victorious. And I'm prepared to tell you this morning that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means so many things. It means new life. It means new beginnings. It means hope. It means joy. And the resurrection of Christ makes the statement that love is victorious. You see, hate and anger betrayed Jesus and led him into the hands of his enemies. And love allowed it to happen, never speaking a word. Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. You see, hate and anger grabbed hold of Jesus by force to take him in front of Pilate to be tried. And love didn't stop them or retaliate with like force, even though Jesus could have. You see, Jesus said, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? You see, hate and anger smacked Jesus in his face. They spat in his face. Hate and anger stripped him naked, beat him, and publicly humiliated him. And love showed mercy. While it was happening, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You see, hate and anger nailed Jesus' hands and feet into a cross, but it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was love. Hate and anger couldn't wait for him to die and couldn't wait to have him buried in a tomb, because hate and anger thought it won and that it was victorious. But Jesus said, "Hey, death. Death has no victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Hate had me buried, but love resurrected me, because God is love, and love is God, and love is victorious." And this morning, if you believe that love is victorious, you need to say amen. You need to say hallelujah. You need to say love wins, death loses. You need to say, "I'm with love, because love is victorious." How many of y'all believe that this morning? And for what it's worth, I'm sick and tired of anger and hate claiming victory. It's time to recognize love's victory. And even when we think that anger and hate might have its way, it's amazing to behold love's power. You see, for a moment, anger and hate had way, seemingly. Satan and his demon buddies had a little celebration. He's in the tomb. He's dead. We've defeated him. We've done it. But 3 days later, Jesus arose. No more party. Anger and hate didn't win. It never won. It has never won, because love is victorious. Church, I believe it's a matter of choice. It's been a matter of choice from the beginning. We can choose to let love be the victor in all areas of our life. Many prominent figures in the Bible and throughout history chose love, because love is victorious. I mean, remember God in the story of Hosea. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Showed love to Israel, even though Israel deserved to be cut off and destroyed. But because they were going to be destroyed because of their blatant sinfulness and idolatry. But Jehovah, in his great love, showed loving kindness. He displayed in cosmic fashion that love is victorious. Therefore, church, we should love like God did. You had David, king of Israel, who shows favor and kindness to Mephibosheth, the grandson of his worst enemy, Saul. The text in 2 Samuel chapter 9 seems to suggest that David had a right to bring harm to Mephibosheth. But David showed love, proving that love is victorious. We should love like David and not hold grudges. You had Ruth, who wasn't an Israelite, but after she was widowed, chose to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and care for her. It went against conventional wisdom. She could have went back to her own people and been taken care of herself. But Ruth proved that love is victorious. We should love like Ruth, in that we take care of one another, because that's what love does. You had Ananias, who taught Saul the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could have refused to do so. Because Saul was a murderer of Christians. Saul was a pretty bad dude. He was an enemy of the church. But Ananias obeyed God, and Saul became Paul, and is now not remembered for all the sins he committed or all the Christians he killed. He's regarded as the greatest of the apostles, the greatest teacher in the church, because love is victorious. We should love like Ananias. You see, we love through our hesitation to reach out to people because of their bad stuff. You see, if we reach out like love should, you know, we may change some people, huh? We may change some hearts if we love, because love is victorious. That's just Bible. We have some people outside of the Bible. Dr. Martin Luther King proved that love would be victorious in race relations, convincing those in the early days of the civil rights movement that those who were met with anger and hate shouldn't return hate and anger. Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Mother Teresa proved that while the plight of poverty, disease, and death will always be with us, as a servant of God, we must be willing to put our lives on the line for the poor. She dedicated her life to being with the poor and the dying. While she may not have healed any of the dying, her willingness to be with the dying gave the dying a sense of worth and dignity. They died with dignity. She said, "There is a terrible hunger for love. We all experience that in our lives, the pain, the loneliness. We must have the courage to recognize it. The poor you may have right in your family, find them, love them." She proved in her lifetime, church, that love is victorious. And just the other day, my niece in Michigan, Kaylee, and my daughter, Kira, exchanged Nintendo DSi games. And I guess on these games, there are some profiles on there, and you want to be careful not to erase someone else's profile. Well, Kira erased Kaylee's profile. And Kira was a wreck, church. Kira started crying. She said, "Oh no, Kaylee's going to hate me. Oh no, what am I going to do?" I mean, these were real tears. These weren't, you know, the fake cry. These were wet tears. So she said, I need to call Kaylee and tell her. And she called, indicated to Kaylee that she had erased her profile. And Kira knew for sure that Kaylee would never, ever speak with her again. How dare you erase my profile? Listen, I've seen some kids fight over these profiles. Y'all think I'm making this up. How many people know about erasing profiles, huh? Kira called her cousin and said, "I erased your profile. Don't hate me." To which Kaylee responded to Kira, "There is nothing you could do." This is a 10-year-old child, by the way. "There is nothing you can do, Kira, that would ever make me stop loving you. It's okay." It lifted a weight off of Kira. So even a mishap with a Nintendo DSi has proven that love is victorious. Let me remind you this morning that we are observing Easter. We have taken time to reflect on this momentous occasion that has given us life. Let me remind you that we are talking about love, and we have been talking about exploring the radical and infinite limits of love. Let me be bold in saying that brokenness can be repaired through the power of Christ's resurrection and the power of love, because love is victorious. Let me be bold in saying that relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ can be repaired through the power of Christ's resurrection and the power of love, because love is. Let me be bold in saying that people who are lost and have lost their way can find their way or given a new way through the power of Christ's resurrection and the power of love, because love is. So where fear has crept in and robbed us of truth, love must restore our confidence, because there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, the Bible says. So where doubt casts a shadow over the miraculous power of love, we must build our faith in obedience to the command of Jesus. "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in truth, just as the Father commands us. And now, dear lady, I am writing you a new command, but one, not a new command, but one we have heard from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." The testimony of the Christian church is that we have been creative and innovative in performing the will of God throughout the ages. The truth is that some programs work and some programs don't. Some ministries work and some ministries don't. Some mission statements and vision statements and process statements work for a while, and then they run their course and they don't work. But when it comes to true love, it never fails. It never ceases. It never runs its course. We don't say, "Let's love until love runs out and then do something else." Love never fails. It never stops, because love is. And that's the story of God in Jesus through his resurrection. His love never stops. It never ceases. It never fails, because God is love, and love is. I urge you, in the name of the risen Christ, to place your complete faith and trust in him to accomplish what he set out to accomplish through Jesus, that we choose to be on God's side, which is the side of victorious love. And through personally and communally experiencing his love, we might find refreshing and renewal in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 13:4 from the Message. "If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant in my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is love. I believe that Paul said that the best of these three is love, because love is glorious. It's all about choice. Why don't we choose today to live in the victory of love? I'm sick and tired of anger and hate winning. It's time that love wins. It's time that we celebrate and say love has won. Christ proved that once and for all when he busts through the cave, when he busts through the grave, when he says, I am alive. Death couldn't hold me. Death couldn't have a victory over me, because love is victorious. Love, hate tried to keep me in here. Hate is trying to keep me away from the people. Hate is trying to keep me away from redeeming these people. Hate is trying to keep me away from loving these people. You can't stop me, because love is victorious. And this has been the message from Genesis. It's been the message when Adam and Eve was in the garden. It's been the message when John is talking in Revelation, that love is victorious. And as a church this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, on this Easter Sunday, man, I'm sweating today, I'm preaching. We need to proclaim that love is victorious. It's time for us to join hands and sing and worship together, because love is victorious. God is going to do amazing things in my life because love is victorious. God is going to do amazing things in your life because love is victorious. And God is going to do amazing things no matter what no one thinks in the life of this church, because love is victorious. I'm not nervous anymore. If you believe in the power of Christ's resurrection to repair some things that's broken in your life, if you believe in the power of the resurrection and victorious love to do something amazing in your relationships, in your marriages, in your parenting, in your friendships, I want you to choose God today. I want you to say yes to Jesus today. As we stand and sing this song in Christ alone, let us understand globally, communally, that we're going to find life in perfect love, Jesus Christ. While we are awaiting the day where love is made complete, it doesn't mean that we can't live today in the right now, in the not yet. We can choose to live in victorious love right now. I want to invite you, as we sing this song, to recommit your life this Easter Sunday to Christ, to commit yourself to that victorious love. If there's anything that we can do for you, pray for you, to surround you, to hug you, to put you, help you, put you on the road towards Christ's way, we want to do that for you. If you want to jumpstart your relationship with Jesus Christ today, you want to profess faith in him, you want to be baptized, you want to celebrate on this day, or of all days that's celebrated, this would be the day. We want to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing this wonderful song that proclaims Christ's power and Christ's activity in the world and in our lives. I want to invite you to come, make your needs known. We love you. Stand and let's sing.